Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin here on the second Sunday after Pentecost. For those folks viewing via the internet, I'll read a couple of the announcements. Those joining us here, it's in the bulletin on the back page. First and foremost, today we've got a special event. We've got Christian Bulwer Long and Jordan Long will be presenting their son, Grayson Ace Long, for the sacrament of baptism. He is a grandson of Clayton and Elizabeth Bulwer and the great-grandson of Cecil Ferguson. And the whole family appears to be in the back of the church. The preschool is hiring an administrative assistant and a full-time twos teacher. If you know of somebody, contact the church office, Ashley Smith or Sandy Kelly. The Centering Prayer Group is meeting for 45 minutes of devotion and prayer in the parlor Tuesday nights at 5:30. Come and join us and learn about the practice of Christian contemplation. The Bible and Brown Bag Bible Study. Bible appears twice there. Anyway, we meet Wednesdays at noon over the lunch hour. We're still studying Genesis. We're going to be studying Genesis for quite a while, I think. Anyway, if you can't attend, there is a Zoom link that you can get from the church office. Finally, the annual Angelina County Shoe Drive is back in partnership with KSWP. There is information on that. There's a box out front for donating shoes and the back-to-school bonanza and Buckner shoes for orphan souls is in full swing. So, thank you.
I'm going to make an adjustment to the bulletin. We're going to do the baptism during the children's moment. So all the children will come forward during the children's moment, and that's when we'll do the baptism. So if you'll, let's begin our service with prayer. God, our refuge and hope, when race, status, or gender divide us, when despondency and despair haunt and afflict us, when community lies shattered, comfort and convict us with the stillness of your presence, that we may confess all you have done through Christ to whom we belong and in whom we are one. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Our souls long for you, O God. In raging wind, in trembling earth, in blazing flames. Meet us once more, O God, in stillness, in silence, in smallness. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 318. In Christ, there is no east or west. Proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, confessing our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. God of grace, we have harmed your children whom you love. Because we do not understand them, we segregate them, we reject them, we demonize them, and we hurt them. Forgive us in your infinite love and teach us to welcome all your children until our hospitality is as wide as your mercy. Help us to understand others as we wish to be understood. Guide us to love one another as you love us. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Okay, please join me as we proclaim the word. Faithful God, how blessed are we who are called by the waters of baptism to be children of God. Guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life you speak, and to give all glory, honor, and praise to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first lesson is from Galatians chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Will come up and sit on this side for me. You can stay right where you are if you like. Y'all have a very special part in this baptism that we're about to do. And if Grayson and Jordan and Kristen would come forward. I'd invite the whole family up, but there's not room up here for the whole family. So. Would y'all like to come up, the other children? You're welcome to if you like. Okay. All right. Embracing the one being baptized and all of us gathered to witness. In this act, we're reminded of our own baptism and united together into the one body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we affirm that nothing we or the world does can separate us from the love of God. No matter how hard we try, we cannot unbaptize ourselves. We may think we can live apart from God, but God never chooses to live apart from us. That is the promise of baptism. In fact, in baptism, we're doing just what Jesus told us to do before he departed from them in the Gospel of Matthew. This is a quote from Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. We baptize children because nothing we do represents the gospel as pure gift of grace more vividly than the baptism of an uncomprehending child. As the psalmist reminds us, before we are aware of God or God's grace, before we seek or please God, God has claimed us and pronounced us pleasing in God's sight. We baptize adults who have not been baptized before because, as the Apostle Peter said in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, this is Peter speaking, for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.
On behalf of the session,
I present Grayson Ace Long to receive the sacrament of baptism. Do you desire that Ace be baptized?
Okay. Thank you. Parents, do you acknowledge and renounce the sin and evil that would separate you and the whole world from the love of God? Do you? Do you profess again your faith in Jesus Christ and your acceptance of Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and promise to nurture your child in that faith to the end that Ace may one day freely confess his faith? Do you? Children of the congregation, do you promise to tell Ace about Jesus Christ? Do you?
We do.
Do you, if he cries, will you comfort him? Will you? If he falls, will you help him get up? Will you? Yeah. If he loses his way, will you hold his hand? Will you? Thank you.
On behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ, do you promise to support and encourage these parents and this child by prayer and example, by nurture and fellowship, so that with them we may all mature as faithful Christians? If you so promise, congregation, please say, "We do."
We do.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. Through the waters of the sea, you led Israel out of slavery and into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. In baptism, we are buried with your Son Jesus in death, and from it we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we are made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. So send your Spirit to move over this water, O Lord, that these waters may wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it, and that in these waters we might find new life, that through these waters we might be grafted into the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Ace, that he may have the power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Grayson Ace Long, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Child of God, for you, Christ came into the world. He did battle in the world. He suffered. For you, he went through the agony of Gethsemane and the darkness of Calvary. For you, he cried, "It is fulfilled." For you, he triumphed over death. For you, he lives and guides his church. And about this, you'd understand nothing right now. But thus is the statement of the apostle confirmed. We love God because God first loved us. Friends, Ace has now taken his place in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church through baptism and has now been marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Now let us stand together and say what we believe using the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. The life, death, resurrection, and promise coming of Jesus Christ has set the pattern for the church's mission. His human life involves the church and the common life of all people. His service to men and women commits the church to work for every form of human well-being. His suffering makes the church sensitive to all human suffering so that it sees the face of Christ in the faces of persons in every kind of need. His crucifixion discloses to the church God's judgment on the inhumanity that marks human relations and the awful consequence of the church's own complicity in injustice. In the power of the risen Christ and the hope of his coming, the church sees the promise of God's renewal of human life in society and of God's victory over all wrong. The church follows this pattern in the form of its life, in the method of its actions. So to live and serve is to confess Christ as Lord. Please be seated. You only thought we were going to skip the sermon. Our next reading, well, we have special music next. I'm not going to skip special music, and then we'll have the next reading. Thank Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he'd worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who'd been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to start with a punchline. The world puts too many labels on us, but the only label that matters is the one that God has given us: child of God. We are named and claimed by God, who loves us and wants a relationship with us, collectively as the church and individually as special creations of a loving Creator. The world has a way of making us forget who we are, children of God. The world puts us in boxes and encourages us to put others in boxes. Who's he? He's a Jew. Who's she? She's a Greek. He's a slave. She's free. Those are boxes Paul mentions in his letter to the Galatians. He's a demoniac. Possessed is a label the Gospel of Luke puts on an unnamed man who has come to be known as Legion because of the condition he suffers. Possession by a legion of demons. This is a timely story, as mental illness has been very much in the news lately with all the mass shootings. Most scholars agree that demon possession in the Bible is the way the people of the time described mental illness. So let's take a minute and put this story into context. We're reading this story, which also appears in Mark and Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke. This story falls in the part of Luke's Gospel where he's emphasizing the Galilean ministry of Jesus. Despite that, Jesus is finding some of his best response from people who are not Jews. Remember how Jesus was amazed at the faith of the centurion who asked him to heal his servant without even going to the house? In this story, Luke has Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee into an area that's populated by Gentiles. This area on the far side of the River Jordan would be in the country of Jordan today. There's some confusion between the Gospels and between ancient manuscripts as to where exactly this happened. Nonetheless, they're all consistent in placing this encounter between Jesus and Legion on the far side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, because a herd of swine went off a cliff into a body of water, it would have to be near the Sea of Galilee. The very fact that there were people herding swine at all tells us that these people were not Jews, because Jews did not keep pigs. Consequently, the events had to take place in Gentile territory. This is the first time that Jesus intentionally travels into an area populated by Gentiles. Jesus intentionally goes into an area where he's going to come into contact with people who've been labeled as unclean. Not only are they unclean, but they herd unclean animals. Furthermore, the man Jesus chooses to help is about as unclean as you can get. He walks around without clothing. He lives among the tombs. Remember, contact with the dead made one unclean. He has some kind of malady which has caused everyone to label him possessed. He screams at people, making them uncomfortable. Jesus approaches a man who's been labeled with so many labels, he just calls himself Legion, a number which used to refer to a group of 6,000 soldiers. Listen to this. Jesus sees more than a label. He sees a child of God. All this talk of labels reminds me of the comedian Bill Ingvall, who has a comedy routine where he would say, "Here's your sign." His idea was that people who said stupid things should wear a sign that says, "I'm stupid." It reminds me of the time when a truck was driving down Interstate 20 and disregarded a sign that said, "Low bridge ahead," and got stuck with his tall truck under the low bridge. A police officer approached the driver and said, "Got stuck under the bridge?" The driver said, "No, I was delivering this bridge and my truck ran out of gas." Here's your sign. We all have times when we state the obvious, and that does not make us stupid. So I do not encourage people to call people stupid. That's offensive. And this scripture about Legion can also offend our sensibilities. After all, Jesus causes a whole herd of animals to drown. However, Luke has a purpose in telling this story. This story appears in a series of stories in chapter 8 of Luke, which emphasize the power of Jesus. In Luke 8, 22 through 25, Jesus has demonstrated his power by calming the storm. In today's scripture, Jesus demonstrates his power over evil. In the verses that follow, Jesus raises a child from the dead, showing Jesus has power over death, and heals a woman who physicians have been unable to heal for 12 years, showing Jesus has power over disease. These stories taken together show that Jesus has great power. Specifically, today's verses include demons who've been identified with Roman legions, an evil force in the land during Jesus' time. Entering into swine, an animal that epitomizes unclean animals, and then those animals jumping into water, a place where demons were known to die. These three points are a clear indication that Jesus has complete mastery over evil. The story is designed to make that point. The fact that swineherds are more amazed by Jesus' power than they are angry about their loss of income emphasizes this point as well. The people are also amazed that this man they have labeled by his malady is healed. The naked guy is now clothed. The crazy guy is now calm. The demoniac is now at the feet of Jesus. What does this tell us about how we are to deal with our own demons? What does this tell us about our temptation to demonize each other? How do we demonize each other? We label people we disagree with or do not understand and define them as people we can dismiss with a label. What are some of these labels we use? He's crazy. She's handicapped. He's a Democrat. She's a Muslim. He's gay. She's conservative. We label as if these labels define the person. But the only important label is child of God. We are all created in love by a loving God. God takes away the labels that separate us. This is the message of Paul in our scripture from Galatians. We are no longer our labels, such as Jew or Greek, slave or free, gay or straight, conservative or liberal, Democrat or Republican. No one is beyond the love of God. I had a classmate in seminary who was born with cerebral palsy, and she was confined to a special motorized wheelchair. She's an advocate of what she calls disability theology. One of the things I learned from her is that people are not their disability. They are people who have a disabling condition. It's significant to make this distinction between a cripple and a person who has a crippling condition. The difference seems subtle, but the more I think about it, the more the concept becomes profound. Think how many situations this applies to. A man might be called a convict, or he might be called a child of God who was once convicted of a crime. A woman might be a diabetic, or she might be a child of God who happens to suffer from diabetes. Do you see the difference? In one instance, the label defines the person. In the other, a person who's made a bad choice or has experienced a malady. There's a difference. One way we demonize the person. The other way we recognize a child of God who happens to have a condition or happens to have done a bad thing. In today's scripture, Paul tells us that all of us are children of Abraham. Another way of saying chosen by God. In today's gospel lesson, Luke tells us that Jesus transcends labels like demoniac and Gentile and sees a child of God. Are you overwhelmed by voices raging at you from inside and out, denying your identity and driving you to places of extreme loneliness or despair? Are you being labeled by those around you in ways that define you as something other than who you are? Are we demonizing others, seeing them more narrowly than Jesus sees them? You need to know that God names you and claims you. Your birthright is child of God. Now that we know that our label is beloved children of God, what difference does that make? Well, what difference did it make to the man Jesus healed in this story? Restored to his right mind, the cured man begs to follow Jesus. Little wonder. Here he is in his native land where he's been literally no one. What reason is there for him to remain? Yet while Jesus regularly invites people, follow me, this time he commands the man to stay and declare how much God has done for him. Perhaps what these people need is not a demonstration of Jesus' power, but the living testimony of one who's been healed and restored. If the man were to leave, how easy it would be for his neighbors to revert to the status quo. With him constantly among them, renewed in mind and body and spirit, they must reckon with God's determined action for health and for life. It's interesting to note that Jesus called the man he healed to tell his story in his own neighborhood. His life changed would be a testimony in itself. Notice that the final verse of the story has Jesus telling the man to go home and, quote, declare how much God has done for you. This is Jesus telling the man to be a missionary to the Gentiles, who happened to be the man's literal neighbors. And notice, Jesus is not self-promoting. He tells the man to tell them how much God has done for him. But notice that the man goes and declares how much Jesus has done for him. The former demoniac recognizes that the story of Jesus is the story of God's action in his life. He deals with his demons by trusting Jesus and sharing how God has helped him through Jesus. God through Jesus is available for you as well. Trust God to help you with your demons. For you are a beloved child of God. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's now stand together as we're able and sing the hymn. In Christ called to baptize, which is number 297. Thank you.
Dear flowing.
There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. God's promise of new creation. Let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, Holy Triune God. We pray for the church. Help us when we are feeling hopeless. Raise us up to face the journey before us, as the body of Christ in the world. Holy Triune God. We pray for our communities. Let us be no longer divided by our race, our status, or our gender. Unite us in compassion for one another. Holy Triune God. We pray for the world. Stand with those who feel forgotten or alone. Give refuge to those who've been cast aside. Convert those whose gods are hate and fear. Holy Triune God. We pray for the earth. Protect vulnerable persons from the heat of summer. Grant us wisdom in the use of our resources. Holy Triune God. We pray for loved ones. Comfort those whose struggles and fears weigh heavily on their hearts this day. Show them your healing and steadfast love. Holy Triune God. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. God our Father, we give you thanks and praise for fathers young and old. We pray for young fathers newly embracing their vocation. May they find courage and perseverance to balance work, family, and faith in joy and sacrifice. We pray for those around the world whose children are lost or suffering, or who wish they could be fathers but cannot. May they know that the God of compassion walks with them in their sorrow. We pray for those who were harmed by their fathers or have never known their fathers. May they find healing in the presence of you, who loves us better than even we can love ourselves. We pray for men who are not fathers, but still mentor and guide us with their fatherly love and advice. We remember and thank you for fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers who are no longer with us, but who live forever in our memory and nourish us with their love. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father, who empowered us to call you Abba, Father, as well, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 377. I want to walk as a child of the light. Some refreshments back there. I invite everybody to join us for some fellowship in the narthex afterwards. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Remember, you are a beloved child of God. Trust that God will help you with your demons. And remember that those around you are also beloved children of God, who God wants to help as well. Go and declare what God has done for you. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.